Well, good afternoon or good evening. See, I see everybody in the room came ready. You all stood up, started clapping your hands. You ready to worship tonight? Come on. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. Still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. Yes, I do. Still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. Oh, my praise belongs to you forever. Oh, this is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Whoa. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Oh, our God will finish what He started. Yeah. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Whoa, 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 whoa. Come on, if you have a testimony of God's grace, I want you to give Him some praise tonight. Come on, I want you to shout it out like you mean it. Come on, let's sing. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Come on. Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. No, no, no. Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Oh, greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. No. Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. Whoa. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This Whoa, is my life. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
I don't need the smoke and mirrors, 'cause I know there's a God who's real. I need something stronger than lightning. I know when I ask, I receive it, 'cause you're not a God who withholds. I know you're here, don't you say it.
I need a Holy Ghost waking in my soul.
I need a love that glows, rattling my bones, evident shows.
I need a Holy Ghost
waking in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go.
I need a
Ghost, I need a ghost. I don't need another kind of big comfort, cause nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning flowing inside of these veins. I need a
Holy Ghost
waking in my soul. I need a love that flows rattling my bones, evident shows.
Tonight is the night. Come on.
But he brought me in, oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, always free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. Child there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Oh, we bless your name, Jesus. We worship you. Tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it. That you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. Take the broken things and raise them to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say. Crown me with confidence. I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. And now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. Oh, this is my victory.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say. Crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
And all and all and all and all. You have overcome the world. My voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority, yeah. Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority. Oh, Jesus had. When I lift my voice,
when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority.
Oh, you've given me, Lord.
Jesus has.
Open up my mouth,
miracle.
When she was singing, "You Are My Champion," and I'm picturing David and Goliath, and I was picturing how David refused to look at that size of that giant in front of him, but he looked at the champion of heaven, right? And he was able to run at that giant with such confidence. Amen. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. So glad you came back tonight. I love that we have an evening service. Greet somebody, you may be seated. Welcome to church. Welcome to everybody present. We're so glad that you're here. So glad you came back. We've had an amazing weekend. Who was here Saturday? Anybody was here Saturday? Good. Anyone was here this morning? Come on, we came back for some more, right? Praise God. Well, I want to welcome those that are online viewers from around the world. We're so glad you're watching us. I love even that it's available to watch after the service, you know, people that watching now and people that will watch tomorrow and the weeks to come, welcome. We're glad you part of our service. Welcome to our Ascend Church members that are watching from your home or like my daughter was today from work. So we welcome you. We miss you. We look forward to seeing you. I want to welcome anyone who's here for the first time tonight. If we have any first-time guests, do we have any first-time guests here tonight? We do. Welcome them. Come on. Give them a shout. Our ushers will be handing you a gift bag. Anybody else, just wave your hand. Sometimes visitors go like that. We just want to see your hand. We just like to give you that. There's a card that says guest. If you just take a moment and fill that out for us, when we pass an offering bucket by, drop it in, and it will just give Pastor Steve an opportunity to call you. Thank you for coming to the service, and it's lovely to meet you. Remember, there's four different ways you can watch, and to those that are watching, make a note of these, because sometimes there's technical difficulties with Facebook, or you never know what they decide to do. And we also have ascendchurch.us. That's our website. We stream live on there. Also on our mobile app, which is wonderful to download and has all past teachings as well, so you're able to watch that. Then there's YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, and we'd be glad if you like that page, and it's all shareable, which is nice. And if you're watching on Facebook, go ahead and share it on your page or comment where you're watching from. Send us a prayer request, and you're able to give online. There's a link on the Facebook that says to give. There's on our website, on our app. Really simple, and we thank you for doing that. Just to let you know quickly that we do have a Spanish translation available. It's available on our website or our app. That means that we translate the service, and so not we personally, because that would be awful if you heard me try to translate the service, but somebody translates it into Spanish and you're able to watch it. So if you in the service, you bring somebody who's Spanish speaking and would like to hear it in Spanish, we're able to do that as well. Remind you quickly of our four purposes. You should know them by now. We want you to know God. We want you to find freedom. We want you to discover your purpose and to make a difference in this world. Amen. And then just let us know you're here when we'll pass a register up the aisle. We just like to know pastors are like shepherds. You know that, right? Church members are like sheep. That's what the Bible says. And so the pastor, the shepherd, always wants to know what's happening with the sheep. So just let us know that you're here. It really helps us in our administration. So thank you for doing that. At this time in the service, we're going to receive our church offering. And I have asked Prophet Ed if he would do that. I just want to let you know of the different ways to give. He's raring to go. What can I say? I want to tell you the different ways to give. Cash, check, or credit. You can use the red envelope that's in the seat where you are. Thank you for doing that. And you can give online at ascendchurch.us. You can text give. The first time you do it, you put that number in, and you text. If you were giving $100, you write 100. You text it, and then it'll come back, and it'll give you a link. After that, you just got one step, and you're in. Our kiosk is not working right now, but I wanted to ask Prophet Ed, because he always has, just like this message this morning was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And he always has an insight from a different angle. Also, with all his travels to Israel and just study of the Word of God, he always brings something out that I haven't heard before, and I love to have that happen concerning the giving. So we're going to do that, right?
Ready? My turn now. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good evening. I'm glad to be in church. How about you? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad I'm sitting next to you tonight. Or tell them, you're privileged to be sitting next to me tonight. Well, this is our fourth service with Prophet Ed, like my wife said. And I believe God keeps the best for last. And I believe tonight's going to be really awesome. Tonight we've got the hungry ones here. That's why we have four services. Because we want to give, you know, Ed as much opportunity as we can and time as we can to minister and prophesy to people. And so I'm trusting God today that many of you are going to receive that prophecy from the Lord. Like my wife said, no, don't pass the offering. We haven't started yet. Hold it. We haven't even started the offering. I'll let you know when we do that. We've asked Prophet Ed to say a few words before we give tonight. We want to hear from him.
He won't let me talk yet.
Your turn's coming. But I want to introduce you. I'm going to introduce you, and then Ed's going to come receive the offering and go straight into preaching. So after Ed has taught about giving, then you can pass the offering. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Kevin. But let me just say this about giving, because I'm just going to say one thing that I'm just blown away. I looked over the giving of last year, and praise God, the Lord was good and He provided for us. We had 17 couples that gave more than $10,000 last year. 17 couples in this church gave more than $10,000 last year. And what that means is more than 50% of our income came from those 17 couples. Now, here's what amazed me. Our biggest giver last year in our church. Yes, baby? Yes, I am. I have permission. Yes, I do. Thank you. But thanks for looking out for me. I have permission. The biggest giver in our church last year was an 86-year-old widow. That was the biggest giver in our church last year was an 86-year-old widow who gave $45,000 last year. An 86-year-old widow was the biggest giver in our church last year. I just thought I'd try and challenge you a little bit with that. I'm trying to stir you up a little bit with that one. So we are so glad to have Prophet Ed with us tonight. What a wonderful weekend it's been. I said to him this morning, it's the best I ever heard him preach this morning. And I heard him many, many times. I heard him many times. Today it was the best. And he's changed his dressing so cool now. I tell you right now, you look like you're in the 60s or something. I like it. I like it. We've known Ed for many years. He's a dear friend of ours. We love him dearly. And what a ministry. What a ministry. What a gift to the body of Christ. What I love about Ed so much is his focus is on building up the body of Christ. He loves the church. He loves the body of Christ. He loves the Lord. And he's here to build us up and be a blessing to us. And so I want you to give a big welcome tonight to Prophet Ed Trout.
Hallelujah. I thought I'd never get up here. Hallelujah, family. My beautiful, beautiful people. I would do a great injustice if I had this opportunity and didn't just tell you some things. For example, we Americans, in our culture, we tip. I travel the world, 37 countries I've ministered in. Nobody tips like America. We tip everything, whether it's bags, hotels, whether it's restaurants, we tip. We are programmed already. It's part of our nature. The difficulty is I suspect that we have that same temperament in the church. And as a Jew, I must inform you and talk to you about tithe. You raised as a child. Tithing is really programmed. You know tithing belongs to God. It's not a Jewish thing. It's not a law thing. It happened before there was any law. We started with Abraham already. So it's a God thing. But the offerings are not just putting in some dollars. Offering, you can give an offering you haven't tithed. Because if you haven't tithed, you can't give that money up to the tithe. That 10% belongs to God. So you can't give a tithe or pour that tithe and say it's my offering. It's not your offering. That money was His. You don't bring your tithe. It's never been your tithe. It's always been His. And God did that so we'd learn obedience and trust. Because He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He gives us all the money, what we need, so we can sow seed and we can live off. But unfortunately, the devil has robbed us in America through credit. This nation has more credit cards, and we get credit cards in the mail we didn't ask for, to spend money we don't have on things we don't need. So we get stuck in a whole loop of paying high interest rate that we can't tithe. But once you tithe, then comes, if we really have tithe, now you have opportunity to give offerings. And what you don't know, and I'm sure not one person in this room understands it here, how holy and precious it is. It's something very holy to God. When you give an offering to God, it's not just putting a few dollars in like a tip. It's not. It's something that's precious to the Lord where there's sacrifice involved. And that touches the Lord. We have first fruits. We have You know, when I go to Israel, I ask the people, so did Jesus ever bring any kind of sacrifice, any kind of offerings? No, they said he had no sin. Well, he didn't bring sin sacrifice, but there's so many sacrifices. There's seasonal, there is first fruits, there's all thanks offering, there's all kinds of offerings you bring to God, not just, and it comes from the heart. But if you look at God and the nature of man and the interaction when it comes to money, you can see what God thinks of it. And there are many examples in the Bible, and I'm going to just use one single example. And it's in the book of Acts. Book of Acts is written by Luke, who was on hand. He saw firsthand. He's very accurate. He's a doctor. He's educated. He's a Greek. And he talks about a man called Cornelius in chapter 10 of the book of Acts. Now, Cornelius was not a Jew. No one raised him to tithe. No one raised him to give. He wasn't raised as a Christian. There were no such a thing yet. And there was no Jews. He was not a Christian. He was not a Jew. But something in him made him a giver. The Bible calls him generous. He gave generously. Generously. I wonder what that really meant. If you give generously, it means what you don't have to give. No, it gives more than anybody could expect of you. If you walk past a person who's begging and you put a few dollars in his little basket, he's happy, he's thankful. But you put a few $100 in there, he's like, what in the world? You got his attention. There's nothing. If you want to really get some good service in a restaurant, tip the person before, seriously, before you begin eating. Give them a $100 bill and see what, and watch how they'll fly. Because it's not just the money. They feel the appreciation or the recognition, often. And in the nature and interaction of God, God and Cornelius, the Bible says an angel came to him. An angel didn't come to visit Peter and tell him things. He had interaction with God, no problem. But this angel came to Cornelius and said, and he was so afraid, he'd never seen this before, he's got scared. And the angel said, your offerings have come as a memorial offering to God. God is so, the almighty creator of the universe is impressed with your heart, your giving. So much so, you've got to get saved. You've got to have eternal life. So I want you to go, we're not going to send you to Peter to learn. I'm going to send the top dog to you. Because you've got that much, you've impressed me that much. The Lord Jesus in his interaction was in the synagogue, in the temple we call it, often, and he was watching people at the back in the offering plate give. And the Bible says there were large amounts that came in. He was not excited about that because Pastor Steve gets excited because he's got a bill to pay. This building is paying, the salaries is paying. He has responsibility and he's always trying to manage everything as a good father would in the house, a good shepherd. But Jesus wasn't impressed with that because there was no real sacrifice. A millionaire who gives $100,000, there's not real a big, it's a lot of money, but it's not a big sacrifice. But this woman that gave all she had got the Son of God so excited that he called over his disciples. Not because of how much he gave, but how much the sacrifice was there. So when you give an offering to God, here, learn from me one thing. Talk to the Lord. Let it come from deep inside of you. Because it mustn't just be another time with a basket going by, another little check, another little $10. No, you've got to listen to the Lord. Because usually when it comes an offering, the Spirit of God will move upon you and he'll tell you what to do. And you'll give an offering that's sometimes sacrificial. It hurts. And it opens the heavens to you. It opens the heavens to you. I know because I've lived this for 40 odd years of my life. My family, my wife, my children have actually visibly seen miracle after miracle after miracle. They are living testimony. They have not one doubt. When COVID hit, when cancer hit my wife, nobody panicked ever. How are we going to provide? We always have learned and known that God will. God will. And listen, the God that you serve doesn't just give absolutely just what you need. He gives you way more according to his riches. It's always enough and more than enough and extra. It's always extra. Always. Do you understand? So what I want you to do is to break out of your fear of what your income is. You've for years tried to balance your books and badly too because you're paying credit cards still, many of you in this room. Larger interest rates, but I want you to get away from that. I want you to connect with the Lord and give an offering to God, not to man, to God. It's between you and God. And I wanted it to be from your heart so that God can bless it. How's that? Father, I pray for my family here today. Lord, that as you have shown me this offering, how precious it is to you, and how much you move by people's sacrifice and their hearts of love, I pray bless each person here. I pray, Lord, prosper each person to the maximum they can handle. I pray, cause them now to give in obedience to you, to experience and have that door open of blessing upon them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, guys, you may receive the offering. There are three or four ways to give. We have electronic giving. We have giving through the basket. You can give it, make out a check to the Ascend Church. And what, how are the other ways? Credit cards. All right. Thank you. All of it up there. It's not difficult. But let it be between you and God and from your heart. And if you don't get to do it now and you say, oh, I don't have, you're welcome to write a note and say, I'm going to do this later. I want you to, while the atmosphere is anointed, take it. Take it. All right. Now, our Bible is written in three different languages. We have Aramaic, which is very similar to Hebrew, and a little different, but similar. And then we have Greek, which was the most spoken language I spoke about this morning. But Hebrew is a fascinating language. Why? Because the words are extremely rich and colorful, and they sketch so many things. Once you learn and understand Hebrew, when you start to hear the words, they'll tell you things, tell you enormous stories. Simple words. You've heard the word Israel. Any word with E-L in it means to do with God. El is the reference to God. So if you have Bet El, it's the house of or the home of God. So if you have Israel, you have having, Israel means having to encounter, bumped to, bumped into, or met, depending on the context it's in, it means to having to met God, having encountered God, having contended with God, depending on the circumstance. So that's what Israel means. And all the Hebrew words mean different things or have richness, and you've heard the words and thrown them around, but I want to talk to you about, you can put it up behind me, please, about this for a moment, just so that it can be life to you. Jesus said we must bless rather than curse. We must speak blessing. There are ways of transferring blessing. One is to actually physically make contact. One is to exchange gifts and even shed blood. They're all different ways of covenant and blessings. But the main way is through speaking. Because God himself said, let there be light. And he commands or tells Moses, he's now building his church, his people, his synagogue, his group, which is known as Israel, his people called by his name. And to build them, he has different rules, and so we have the Ten Commandments, and it unfolds into all the laws of Moses to give us a pattern to live, as you know, in Leviticus and all these things. But in Numbers, there are many things that fold out in the dealings of God. But this, in chapter 6, Moses tells Aaron, his brother, that you need to go to the priests and you need to speak the blessing of God over his people. Well, what does that mean? Aren't they blessed anyway being God's people? No, there's a verbal thing of blessing someone. Not only when they do you good, there's power in it, in the actual laying of the words. Now, we sing this song all over the country, all over the world, and I'm very blessed and very delighted by people singing the blessing. It's been great, but I'm very aware that you don't know half of the beauty of this actual blessing. There are three lines and two verbs in every line. And it says, may the Lord bless you. It's not what the Hebrew says, unfortunately. They translate it the best they can, but it's actually Yahweh. Now, the Lord is Adonai. Adonai Elohim is the Lord God. So Elohim would be God, but Yahweh is more sacredly his name. So when they use that in Hebrew, Yahweh bless you. The word bless in Hebrew here is mean do you good, do something positive. It's the opposite to curse. May God do you good. May he be positive towards you. That's the first verb. And they translate the word from Hebrew, keep. The word from Hebrew is not keep. It means to shield, protect, cover you. So when I say may the Lord do you good and keep you from COVID, poverty, sickness, divorce, may God protect you, shield you. That's what I'm speaking over you. I'm actually speaking it, praying it, decreeing it. That's the first line. Now, the second line is, may he make his light to shine on you. And I could spend the day explaining that to you, because he's the light of the world, and his light shines in darkness. And when you walk in the light, Jesus says, are not there 12 hours in the day? When a man walks in light, he will not stumble. So when God gives you light, he is enhancing your life in general. May he make his light, all that is good, all that's power, he's supernatural, make it available to you. May he make his light to shine upon you and then give you grace. Now, the word grace here, we've learned from the Greek, which is a whole different word. And we understand grace to be an extension and great and a much more, it's like mercy on steroids and so much more. But the word grace in Hebrew is chanan. And that word is very different. What it means when you have chanan for someone, it's because they're less than you. It's like an ant on the floor. You could kill it, but you try to help it out. That's chanan. You're showing a little bit of grace. You're being a little bit gracious. Be a little gracious, even though they're not deserving of it. So may God give you his light that you don't stumble, and empower you and give you that grace, that may be mindful of how much you need him, how weak you are and compared to him. That's what God's saying in that second. The third line, that's why he makes his light to shine upon you, but now his face. Well, isn't that the same thing? No, it's very different. If God's face, his face is not on everybody. You know, no one has seen God and lived. Moses, who had gotten to a place of relationship with him, said, I want to see you so badly. And God let him see his behinds, because he would not live if he saw the glory of God. But if God makes his face shine upon you, of all the universes, all the planets and all the galaxies around us, he's watching you. He's got his face on you. You take his attention, may he make his face shine upon you and give you shalom. Peace is now. Shalom is not just peace. Shalom is good well-being in every facet possible. Shalom is much more than just peace. It is every good thing. When someone speaks shalom to you, it means absolute blessing, absolute good well-being, health, everything. It encompasses it all. So may he pay attention to you, giving you favor by looking at you, by really being mindful of you, and may give you all the goodness, the peace, and all the well-being that possible. So when you speak this blessing, you're actually decreeing and you're doing a lot of good to someone else. And if you bless those that curse you, it's not so easy in your natural flesh, but you're actually turning the tide of what destruction they're bringing towards you by blessing them. And that's the blessing you're all singing about, and God decrees that over you. May God, may Almighty, may Yahweh bless you, do you good, and may he protect, shield you from all that's difficult and hard on your life, and may he make his light to shine upon you and be mindful of how much you need him. May he focus and bless and favor you so much that the peace and the fullness of great blessing and life upon you is yours to have. That's what the blessing means in paraphrased English, if you want to go by that. Just wanted to share that with you. So when you sing it, it won't just be some words you just heard somewhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. Looking at the synopsis of the history of mankind and God, the creation, the flood, and all the things that happened thereafter, and the nation of Israel being born the way it was born years later, and the thousands of years, 6,000 years of the nation Israel, and then bringing forth a Savior. The Savior is a real ultimate pinnacle in the universe. For God to send his own Son and go that journey, and it's a very small, minute second, 33 years, very short, to be so injected and to go through all that suffering, to take the weight of all the suffering of the world that has been and to come. And that's the longer I know him and study his word, the more flabbergasted and astounded I am at this salvation. We introduce to salvation usually by people that are preaching repentance and so on. That's how I was introduced to it. And we go into that mode where we have to constantly work to keep the salvation. It is a pattern of the enemy to out of ignorance, to drive us. Galatians, who were not even Jews, he said, you foolish. What is wrong with you, Galatians? You started out with the grace and you end up in the law. What made you go to the law? You didn't have the law to start with. Why would you go back? Why? Because you need something to control. The devil doesn't want you to walk in the freedom that Jesus paid such a price for. Such a price. In fact, you cannot do more for God, for the Lord Jesus, than to take everything he suffered for, because he's paid it now. It's hurtful to him to have done all that and you don't apply it all. It's like a parent giving a child brand new shoes and they just feel too sorry to use it because it's such a nice pair of shoes and they never wear it. It bothers the parents because they went to sacrifice, especially a mom that didn't have money and she gets a little check each month and she sacrificed to buy those shoes because she knew you liked them and you didn't wear them. And that's how the Lord feels, because you're not applying salvation. And then Jesus said, because now everything changed when he came. Everything changed. A whole new platform was laid. And then he said, I will not leave you alone. I have to go. I have to go. But you will not be alone. Now, when he rose from the grave, he spent 40 days and nights on earth. A puzzling, puzzling time to me. I'm going, what were you doing here? What were you doing so long? Why were you even here so long? I know 40 days is of special significant number-wise through the ark. We know it's 40 days, the rain, and then we know that Christ wasn't fasting 40 days. There's so many 40 days, so many. Very important, the 40 years, 40 days, 40. But why? Why would he have to fulfill 40 days? And we don't even know where he was all the time, because they don't report at all. They tell us here and there, 500 people saw him, then he was here, then he was there. Don't touch me. Then he says, go ahead and touch me. You know, make up your mind. Touch, don't touch. You know, and then he eats food with them. He eats food, and he walks through walls. It's a fantastic way of dieting. Think about it. No, you're not thinking about it. You don't get it, do you? Too blonde. Family's too blonde. Okay. I'll explain to you later. But it's a very strange time. And then he's 40 days, he's there, and they were in Jerusalem. Then they went to their homes, and they had to go back. And it was 10 days after he ascended on high that the Holy Ghost came. The next great pinnacle of history of mankind. The funny thing was, he said, I will never leave you alone. I'll never leave you. Well, 10 days we were completely alone. You were not here. There was no Holy Ghost here. And that bothered me for a long time. Why would you do that? And I'm convinced in my heart, the moment he left, the Holy Ghost was available to come. But it waited 10 days, or there was a 10-day period, because Shavuot came. We have seven official feasts in the Old Testament. There are more feasts that we celebrate. Hanukkah is not in the Bible, but we celebrate it. I haven't got time to teach in that to you. But we have three feasts which are associated with Pascha, which is Passover. And then there's one feast that follows called Shavuot, which celebrates the Pentateuch, the five books that Moses wrote. It's a celebration of the Word. We rejoice in the Word. And it comes on this 50th day after Pascha. And here they are, gathered in the upper room. They came to Jerusalem because it's festival time. It's feast time. So it literally motivated and engineered them to come together to celebrate. They gathered together, the Bible says in Acts 2, and they were united, one accord, and they worshiped God. They created the perfect storm for the Holy Ghost to come. So I began to wonder, well, had they done that, right after he left, we may have had the Holy Ghost sooner. If that be true, and I want to just relate to you to give you some idea of what happened immediately after the Holy Ghost came, I want you to try and picture, stand back and look from the moon, not from the earth, look from the moon at this huge planet, and at the Holy Ghost, which is the third part of God, which came to the earth. It came to a tiny country, to a tiny city, to a tiny room. All the power of the great God in one spot. There was so much power, so much glory, that 3,000 people got saved in one day. Even Jesus didn't have that success. Now, they've really got saved, and the practicality of it's not logical. Jerusalem is very narrow. The old city is very narrow streets. Whenever I take a tour, we start out with 45 people and end up with 20 because they get lost. The Americans are going to stores, going to bathrooms, disappear, do all kinds of strange things. The streets are narrow. You can't find them. I always take someone to help me with it. It's my whether it's a son-in-law or my grandchild, but someone comes with me to help me because I always lose Americans. So because they do all kinds of strange things. I say, turn left, and they go right. This is the funniest thing. We here are the bathrooms. We'll wait here for 10 minutes. We'll meet here. Half an hour later, can't find them. It's the funniest thing. It's just always the situation we've had. Now, well, I'm telling you, so if that be true, then how do they find 3,000 in one day? Where were those people? There's no hall to gather that kind of people. So the Holy Ghost was moving like fire to have that many conversions. It didn't stop then. The evidence continued. They're remarkable. They were getting healed every day, saved every day. And a harmony grew in such a phenomenal way, such an atmosphere that I'd like to actually read it to you now that I think about it. In Acts chapter 2, you know, it's the Acts is the first 12 chapters of Acts is all about Peter, and the rest is all about Paul, just that you know for those who are biblically interested in these things. And you can see by the attitude of how when Peter preaches, how the Jews respond. They cut to the heart, the Bible says, and they ask, what shall we do to fix it? In verse 40, it says, and with many words, okay, that's not the one I'm looking for. Where am I? Here we go. Back. Which verse am I looking for? So in verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one another in accord. I've got the New King James. Let me just change it to the NIV so it's proper English. That's why I love my phone, because all my whole library is here, and just a press of it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What were they teaching, the apostles? What Jesus taught them. And the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So they were having communion frequently. Everyone was filled with awe. Everyone. We could use some of that in this church. Was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Many wonders and miracles. It wasn't just someone from Tampa. It wasn't just Rodney R. Brown. It was everyone. It was happening all the time. All the believers were together. They were together. Look how we are now. We have so many. We're more than 100 different splinters of Christianity in denominations and formats. It's quite a lot. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They shared. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone who had need. No one asked them to do that. Money became absolutely unimportant. When the Holy Ghost was moving, the power of God was there, money was not, you didn't have to teach them about money. No one told them. It just became so natural. Every day they continued to meet together. Every day. Every day. No matter what was on TV. They came to meet together in the temple courts. In the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. If you're wondering what the temple courts means, just for those who don't know, Herod had built in the time of Jesus a huge platform called the Temple Mount. And this whole main mount was called the Court of the Gentiles. And then we had the temple, which is a small portion in comparison to this huge outer court. And then you had the outer court, the inner court, and then you had the temple and, of course, the different things inside the temple. But there was lots of space on this Temple Mount where they would meet. So they were meeting, and they were meeting there, and they were breaking bread in the houses and homes together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Can you imagine the scene, this whole atmosphere, what was going on? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's what happened with the Holy Ghost. To illustrate how much intensity of power there was besides the miracles and healing, besides that, you've heard of the story of Ananias and Sapphira so many times. You felt that you've been taught by people that were less than knowledgeable that God was judging them. That would defy the whole gospel. What they did with the Ananias and Sapphira, they were not saved. They didn't get saved for whatever reason. And they saw what was happening, and they wanted to be part of this great movement. They wanted to get into it. So in their ignorance and unsaved state, they sold their possessions and gave half to the church because they weren't completely surrendered. They were deceitful. Now, it wasn't God's judgment. The anointing was so intense that it killed them. Let me explain how it works. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says that we, you and I, right, are a fragrance of life to those being saved and the fragrance of death to those not being saved. One fragrance, two effects. Life and death. How it works in your life when you got saved. You were so excited. You kept telling all your unsaved family members. Some rejoiced and liked it and believed in it. And they blessed you. And they started, even though they couldn't get saved, they started prospering. And the ones who laughed at you and mocked you, everything went wrong with them. Because you became a fragrance of life to one without knowing it, and a fragrance of death to another. Let me give you another illustration. So many illustrations. I'll give you another illustration. Uzzah, with every good intention, accompanying the Ark of the Covenant back into the city, because it was on the cart of a Philistine, it was wobbly and he tried to steady it to protect it, and it killed him. Was God mad? There was so much anointing and he was not equipped or called, and the anointing killed him. The intensity of the anointing. Why it doesn't happen today is because the anointing has been dissipated and dispersed, because the devil has come to divide, steal, and destroy. So he's constantly dividing. He's constantly accusing and dividing on a daily basis, because he knows one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. He understands and is knowledgeable about the principle of us being united. And how quickly he'll bring the accusation and build a case in your mind not to be united with someone. Jesus said if we can get two or three in agreement, we can agree with anything, it'll be so. I have never seen two people completely agree yet in my whole life. It's a very hard work to be completely in agreement. The devil knows it, and that's why Jesus said if we can get two or three to really agree, we're going to shake it. We're going to change this place to go into power of agreement. Now, the devil knows that, so he's always dividing us continually to separate and diminish the power. But when we get united, then there comes new power. In fact, Jesus in John 17, that whole chapter is one prayer. Five times he keeps praying, Father, make them one. Father, make them one. He knew that for the success of the church, we had to, and there's different levels of love, that were different verbs like phileo and agape. We had to love each other even more than anybody. We had to be devoted to each other in the church, because that's how the world will know that we belong to him. God requires of us in the church to love each other. He used the word he never used in his whole teaching time, command, a new commandment. And the moment you tell a Jew a commandment, oh, here we go, because they grew up with that. A new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. That sacrificial, that extension, the way I've loved you. He told us to love our enemy, to love our neighbor, different formats of love, but this love had to be even far greater in the church. So the world will know. That's how they'll know. Not by your power. Not by the miracles or the size of your church or how verbal you are. But they'll know by the love you have to each other. And the love is not visible when things are going okay and people are nice to you. The love is visible when things are not well and there's pressure. And people are suffering and struggling or they have needs. That's when you can see that love is to save. In America, we have this love language. Love you, bye. People in Macy's tell me, I love you, bye. They don't even know me because they're so in such a habit already of saying it already. But the word love from where I come from, where we come from, is not a word we use easily. But it's a strong commitment. When we say, I love you, it means something with it. We don't just talk about it. We live it. We'd rather do it. And there's a sacrifice. When you love someone, there's something you offer up, you give. If you love me, you'll keep my commandment, Jesus said. Now, that's not a threat or any kind of condition. It's a promise. Because when you love him, keeping his commandments become easy. They become natural. When you love someone, it's not difficult at all to please them. You're not getting it. Some of you are still not sure. You're trying to work this thing through. So what happens is, when the Holy Ghost came, they had everything in harmony. You can see the evidence of unity and love. And there was so much power that Ananias and Sapphira weren't judged. Their darkness killed them. The glory of God was so strong, it took them out. The same way the glory of God will heal and do miracles. The Lord told me the revival will come. The church will seem to grow. But the only half the church would be the real church. I said, well, then so half the church won't, because the other half will deny the power. So I said, well, obviously the half will not want the Holy Ghost. He said, no, no, they'll all have the tongues. They'll all have supernatural stuff. I said, well, then you got me confused. That's the power. No, he said, God says, no. The real power of God, because the devil can counterfeit everything. Signs and wonders, he counts. The scripture says, all signs count. What the real power of God is in the transformation of a life. Because when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of someone, you don't need to counsel them. You don't need to do deliverance on them. They transform right there. When God's power gets a hold of them, you watch them and they can't go back to the old life. All the years of trying to get free of that drugs and trying to be a better husband or wife, all that's gone. They just change and everybody's expecting the bomb, the other shoe to fall, and they get stunned at this and change because the power of God got hold of it. That's the real evidence of power of God in a church when the Holy Ghost moves. Now, the truth is we need the Holy Ghost. In America, if ever we needed the Holy Ghost, we need it now. It's very much factual and historical that the Holy Ghost moves a lot easier in a country like Africa because they're poor, they have nothing else. But when we have so much, we don't have the desire, hunger, or desperation for the Holy Ghost. He won't come where he's not wanted. You want what he can offer you, the prophecies, the healings, but to have the Holy Ghost is not a real craving. Normally, when you have everything you want, when you're poor in a country where there's no food, you just want anything. You're craving something, and there's nothing else to have because that's your life source. And the Holy Ghost comes and he breathes upon the people because there's faith for and expectancy for him to come. And America has always been a Christian country. Our heritage, this is not a free religious country. That's not true. The Constitution talks about Christianity in every way, shape, and form. We are meant to be a Christian country. We're not a Muslim country. And I was born in Africa, but you cut me open, the red, white, and blue comes out of me. So when someone complains about the country and criticizes, I say, please feel free to go back today from where you come from. Don't stay. Please don't stay. If you don't want to speak our language, take our culture, please go back. If you like your culture and your language where you were, please go home where you come from and enjoy it. Go. But here, this is America. You came for a reason. You don't come and change us. We don't go and change you. We've been apologizing and being politically correct too long. We need to be Holy Ghost correct. That's what I'm saying. You and me, girl. You and me. BFF. So what I want to teach you is that what the third and great thing that happened in God's ecology of mankind was the Holy Ghost. And we all look back historically and celebrate it, but he hasn't changed. He's not left. But we're not getting the same manifestation. So the way the Holy Ghost is waiting for someone to do something to give him a chance to move. And there's a yearning, and I'm telling you this because there's a yearning in your pastor. He doesn't know it, but he's been saying it all the whole weekend. He's been saying this to me in different ways. He's been saying, I really want something. I want the Holy Ghost. I want something. He's wanting. He's wanting it. And it won't be long before it bursts. Breaks here and breaks there. And once you start tasting it, you won't want. And it will separate the boys from the men. There'll be some say, I can't go to that crazy church. That's too much crazy. That's too crazy for me. And there are others that'll come because they love it. They soak in it. It's not. When I brought my Jewish mother to my Holy Ghost church, I was so tense because someone right in front of us began, oh, no. And she was staring. I saw her staring. I didn't know how I was going to explain this tongues thing to her. She's Jewish. She said, my boy, I don't know what that is, but I know it has to be God because I can feel it. And God said, see, don't apologize for my spirit. And I've always wanted to make excuses. Don't speak in tongues. We have unbelievers. You better speak in tongues with the unbelievers here. Do you understand? Don't you be afraid. Even though Paul says, I think you're all crazy. If it's chaos and they think you're crazy. I understand that. It's a principle. But nobody hates the Holy Ghost. They're fascinated by it. They're intrigued by it if it's the real thing. If it's the real thing and not the little soulish thing that's echoing the Holy Ghost. But we need the Holy Spirit and it's all its power. And we have to create the platform or the opportunity for him to come. We, as a natural Christian, American, modern society, we create a program. We have a program. We start at 6. We had worship. We had our songs planned out. We had people operating the electronics. And we have a whole program. And I was asked to receive the tithes and offerings. I don't take them. I receive them. If I took them, I'd have a weapon. But I receive them because it's your blessing to give it so that God can bless you. That's exactly how it works. truth. And so we have all planned out, and then I teach. But the truth is, we ought to give space for the Holy Ghost to do whatever he wants. The ideal opportunity, it can change all the time. But the ideal space is when you've worshiped to God. And you give it time for the Holy Ghost to respond to us. Or just give. Don't be afraid of the few minutes of silence or nothing, no program going. Just get busy with the Lord and let the Lord minister to you, because the Holy Ghost wants to breathe on us. These were very young, green, ignorant people that came to the 3,000 that got saved. No one taught them. They didn't know what they were doing. No one told them, okay, tongues is going to work. In fact, there was no teaching about tongues until Pentecost, Shabbat. There were 120 in the upper room, men, women, and children. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And no one said to them, okay, why are you speaking that funny language? Well, let me pray for you. No, they all were smitten, every last one of them. It wasn't 118 of the 120, or maybe 99. It was the entire lot. Even little kids. Get up by what you saying? Get up by you. Wow. Well, look at me. I'm saying it too. It came out at the same time. So the Holy Ghost is for everyone. It doesn't mean you have to have faith. It doesn't mean you have to work righteously. You just have to be open to it and want it. Because it's for every Christian. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. And the only thing that stops you ever functioning or speaking in tongues is only your intellect. Because everything runs through your brain. You want to control the language, and you've got to put it in neutral. That's why some of them were drunk, because Peter had to get up. Where was he? He had to get up. He was drunk on the floor. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. You know, drunkenness in the natural changes people. If you watch the very big mouth gets drunk, and he's quiet as could be. Then the one that's timid and scared, boy, they're bold and confident when they're drunk. And then when people are drunk, they always love everybody. There's no inhibitions. I just love you. You're my best friend. You're just like, you're just such nice people. I mean, that's what happens when people are drunk, right? So when the Holy Ghost makes you drunk, there is a complete, easy to get to Holy Ghost tongues. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's the early hour of the day. No, this is what is spoken of in Joel, that the Holy Ghost will come and I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. This is that time. This is that. We need more this is that in our church. And this church is going to get it. Because your journey includes a fresh Holy Ghost. And everybody wants it, but you know it's going to cause controversy. And there's going to be some idiots doing some strange stuff. The devil's always going to send someone to copy and to intervene and to inject. There's always something. The devil never lets God do what he wants without showing his face. So don't react to it. Don't get upset. And when people fall on the floor and they laugh and they cry, it's not the Holy Ghost doing that to them. Let no one tell you. It's their reaction to the Holy Spirit. Everybody reacts differently. And I'm all for them reacting as long as they're getting it. I don't like them every Sunday falling on the floor laughing and they're still the same people they were 10 years ago. Then I say, ain't no Holy Ghost getting you. Something else is getting you, buddy. Because when the Holy Ghost touches you, you can't stay with unforgiveness and hatred. It's impossible. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you change inside. It cleanses you. It renews you. It just transforms you. We need the Holy Ghost in the United States of America. No matter how hard you try and witness, pray, without the Holy Ghost, people's lives will not be changed. We need the Holy Ghost. So here's the first step I need you to do. I need you to start pursuing it in your own Christian life yourself. Pursue it where you are, where nobody is. Seek the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to come. Say, touch me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. Give me someone and let the Holy Spirit work, become a co-worker with you. Then when you come to church, come prepared when you come to church. Because our habits are, our lives are so busy that by the time we get here, we're running late and we're not spiritually prepared. And we have to get, what's her name that needs to worship? Monique has to work us up, like crank us up. And by the time because she's already and she's in tears and she's worshiping God, and only by the end of it, we're finally breaking through, because now the kids have got settled, the husband's not yelling at us anymore, and we're all focusing, and now it's time for Pastor Steve to preach. And we didn't really soak. If we'd come in prepared, we would have been charged, and we would have been, I just need 10 people that can live like that, and we'll change this entire Florida. Jesus had 11, changed the world. We don't need a lot. We just need some people that are committed. That's all we are to the Holy Ghost, to the Lord. And it's very, very real. Do you hear what I'm saying? And God will move supernaturally. This is not an ordinary church. It's not your run-of-the-mill place. You may have all kinds of ideas and thoughts about this church, but I know what I know. God has put his hand on this church. God has put his hand on this couple. Whatever they've gone through, whatever they are, whatever you might think, God's hand. And let me tell you, God will pick who he'll pick. He said, do not touch my anointed. Well, why did he anoint them in the first place? He'll anoint who he wants. Not my perfect kids, my anointed. And when they're anointed, I tell you, wherever God uses, whether it's a female, whether it's old, young, black, thin, fat, I don't care. Wherever God's using and the anointing's on them, I'm for that because I recognize God in them. Do you understand? So if you have that crazy idea that a woman shouldn't be in kind of leadership, get over yourself. Because we want the Holy Ghost wherever God will use. Amen. Did I teach you anything at all? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his light to shine upon you and give you grace. May he make his face shine upon you and give you peace and your family for this whole year. This is going to be a wonderful year. The Lord said he's going to demonstrate himself to the world this year. So be expecting some supernatural, some good godly things, not just for the church, for the world. It was a very difficult year last year. The Lord told me it would be a crazy year, and it was. But this is not that. This is not that. Do not be afraid of the Democrats. They're going to, unfortunately, there's a spirit of confusion amongst them anyway. So they'll neither do good or bad. They'll just be jelly. Telling you, that's what's going to happen. And there'll be all kinds of little sparks. They just bark. You know, a little dog barks, does nothing. So don't worry. Our president that we had now set some fantastic things in motion and things we don't even know about. Treaties he signed and did all around the world that you can't undo very easily. And God was used him. He was going to be a Cyrus. He said he did what God had called him to do. There's no question. And no presidency, no government is an issue because God's in control. God's always been. We've had some idiots in control in this nation. And we're still here. And we're still prospering. The idiots didn't stop God's plan. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't be at fear because you are the salt of the earth. The most important thing is for you to be everything God's called you to be. That's gonna keep this nation safe, not the presidency. No matter who's in charge there, you are the power vessels of God. That's what I'm saying. Let's be a family, stick together. Let's be united. Let's not criticize, fight each other. Let's be united. Let's love each other. Let's be a family. Let us scare the devil right here in Jupiter. So Pastor Steve, go. Go full speed, I pray. Please, become what you're born for. For such a time you were born. You had your idea of what it's supposed to be, and God's got a whole different idea. And he said to me today, well, I'm just not trying. Now it has to be all God. I said, finally, thank you, Jesus. You know, there were 12 disciples, and two of them were very high profile, John and Peter. And John was a baby. He was 19. He was a kid. Did nothing. Did nothing. It was, I'm the one Jesus loves. Oh, grow up. You know, him and Peter go up to the temple, and there's this lame man. What does John do? Nothing. Peter's the one. And Peter's like an idiot. You know, he's real. Duh. He does the stupidest things. He wants to walk on the water. He wants to build tents for Moses and Elijah. Why? Why do they need tents? And then he wants to cut a man's ear off coming to arrest Jesus. He did the strangest thing Peter did. A lot of strange stuff. He denied the Lord. He had so many strange difficulties. And the reason why the Lord didn't stop him denying him. Now, you would have thought Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. You would have said, be careful. You don't do it. If the Lord told me I'm going to deny him tonight before the sun rises, I'm going to the bathroom with masking tape and I'm covering my mouth and I'm going to stay there and listen to my iPod, whatever it is, until morning, until that light comes through and say, okay, I'm through this. And this didn't happen. Do you understand? Not Peter. He went straight into it. Why? And Jesus really said to him, and when you come back, when I come back, where am I going? Well, you're going to go through some stuff. It's going to be a challenge for you. But when you come back, so he was restored before he messed up. He was restored already before. The Christians wouldn't restore him, but God did before he messed up. And why wouldn't God stop? Why? why wouldn't the Lord just prevent that? Have you ever been in your life where you wondered, God, why didn't you just stop me marrying this person or leaving here this morning? I didn't need to have this. Why did I have to have this car wreck? I could have avoided this if you just said something, Lord. You wondered why, and God allowed it because he's got a much bigger program. Peter had a struggle with his self-image, and he needed so Jesus' approval all the time. He did all the crazy stuff to try and impress Jesus. Now that he failed, he stopped trying so hard. He got tired of trying to make it happen. So now he's going to encourage the brethren. He knows, they know that he knows that he knows that they know that he's an idiot. So if he's going to encourage them, it's going to have to be God through him. And that's what it took. It took a failure for him to finally let God work through him. So God, in your journey, you've had all kinds of stuff happen to you. What you regret and wish you could undo and change all contributes to who you are. It works together for good according to a purpose that God has in your life. Do you understand? So don't have regrets and moans and complaints and whines. Just rejoice and thank God that his grace is more than enough for you. Amen. All right. Let the games begin. Amen. Did you want to pick anybody, Pastor? So look for sinners. Who? Sicily. Sydney. Like Australia. Sydney and her mom. Her daughter. Are you? You have a mask on. Okay. So you look almost like sisters.
She's Valeria and my mom, Doreen.
And that's your mom, Doreen.
She's my mom.
Hi, Doreen. So it's three generations?
Yes, we are.
Okay, cool. Yes. You look way too young to be her mother. Were you 10 years old and you had a baby?
No, I'm so happy that I have her when I was 27. And
wow. Yes, and some people have a certain cream or something, I think is what it is.
No.
Where are you from?
I'm from Honduras.
Honduras. Yes. Español. Gloria a Dios.
In Spanish, yeah, but we are happy to be here, you know, learning a new language.
God speaks Spanish. Do you know that? But he prefers
Spanish.
English. I'm just kidding. What do you do?
You know, I'm a personal trainer, but I do have my business degree. And I'm doing right now, I'm doing life insurance agent.
The reason why I'm asking is to place what I see in the spirit in your life, because I see enormous success. And it's not from personal training.
Okay, the personal training. I'm changing my career right now.
Listen. Don't talk. Listen. That your personal training is a bridge in your life. It's taking you from one chapter to the next, that personal training. But you're destined to do business because you have become determined. You always were committed, but God has taken you out of a difficult situation and he's made you become determined and it's made you stronger. When the Israelites came to Israel, they had to fight for every single part of Israel. And that's where you are now. You're taking what's rightly meant for you and success. You will succeed more than anyone in your family financially and run an entire business.
Amen.
That's your destiny. Because you are smart, your greatest strength is you've never give up. You lay on your bed one day feeling like your life had fallen apart and you made up your mind, I will not give in. I will fight back. And since that day, God's hand got on you and said, you will fall into your destiny now. Come, and you'll become all that God has planned you to be. There's no destiny. Great wealth, great success, great importance and significance in different business God's planned for you to be. But you'll have no revenge. You'll have, because there'll come times when people have done you wrong. People have done you wrong. Even your family and even friends in business have done you wrong. But you're going to have no revenge. You're going to have forgiveness. You're going to bless them in spite of. Because God's going to raise you up above all those people. No question. This is how many children do you have? Just the one. What is your name?
Valeria.
Valeria.
Yes.
And how old are you?
16.
What do you want to do with your life? Because you have the arts. You have the arts in you. You have great ability and talent in every, from every physical to dancing to music to acting to all of it's inside of you. And all that talent, he wants to put it together for one purpose. What would you like to do with it?
Yeah. I just want to be happy. I want to
okay.
find my purpose.
Well, then you must serve God. That's the most important thing. Put God first in your life. Here's the thing with you. You're very intelligent, but you're very gullible. You trust people because you're trustworthy. And so God has got a very strong wall of protection, and mama is hovering over you like a helicopter. Nobody gets close. Everyone that talks to you, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? Because she's watching you, because you're susceptible, but you're very smart. And you will always survive like your mother, but you have a little more mercy than she'll have. You'll go an extra mile for someone because it's your personality and part of your nature. But God is going to use your talents. I'm convinced you're going to be in some media like a television news forecaster, something like that God's planned for you. Because you have an ability to project and communicate, and you listen. You're a listener. If you listen to people talk, the worst of the street bum telling you the whole story, you'll pay attention, you'll listen because you care. But you're smart. You will go to college. It's of great importance to go to college, and you will do definitely development with it, whether it's theater, whether it's arts, whether it's media, whatever it is, you're going to do all that. It's part of your plan, part of your journey, and you will do well. And there'll be two or three men that'll take great interest in you, but you will not attach yourself to anyone until the Lord has spoken to you. And if she was successful already with wealth, and I would tell her, I'll give you his name, the one that God's chosen, but it'll cost you some. I'm Jewish. What do you want from me?
Thank you. Amen.
What's your name?
Doreen.
Doreen. And where are you from? You're from where they from, right?
Yeah.
You're a good cook. I like your food. But here's the thing. You've got a wonderful heart, and the Lord says, whispering in my ear, tell her that your life is not over. Because you feel like you've had your life. Now it's their turn. No. You've come to another chapter. Yes, you've had that chapters you've had is over. That's true. But there's a brand new chapter you can't even imagine of great importance. You're not supposed to stay home and take care of other stuff. No. You've got more to offer. You took a lot of abuse. You're tired because you had to put up with a lot of stuff. But God promised you your whole family will get saved and changed in time, one step at a time. But God's hands upon you. And you have work to do, and I see you working for a ministry, doing whether it's helping, answering the phone, doing something in the ministry, because you've got a tender heart and care about people. And you, that's where you get the listening from. She's a real listener. She re-listens and she cares. And she remembers things. This girl remembers everything. If you said you liked a certain clothing, Christmas time, there it is, because she remembered. She's got that gift in her. Nana, go.
Doreen. At night, you just feel like you're getting really tired and you're exhausted and completely, stressed out because of your day. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so God is renewing and is giving you a healing in your body. And so you won't become as tired as you do now. Naturally, you're very excited and vibrant. You always have something to give to somebody else. You're just a giver. It's in your nature. And so God's going to use you mightily in this time just to input into other people's life the wisdom that he has laid on you. And that wisdom has spilled over into your children, even your grandchildren. Now, there are some of your family that's far from the Lord. But I see that God's reining them in. He's bringing them in. They will all be part of the kingdom, and they will be saved. And some of them are involved in things that we don't want to even speak about. God says he will set them free. He will
Amen.
Set them free. Amen.
So the blue-shirted man?
Yes.
Sir, what is your name?
Hi, I'm Bill.
Hi, Bill. What do you do, sir?
I'm in the continuous improvement
Continuous
business.
Improvement? That's a good title.
At a aerospace business.
Aerospace business. And you're in this church?
I am right now.
But I mean, I need to know if you locked into the family or not.
Well, it's interesting. My church is actually Presbyterian Church in Tequesta.
Uh-huh.
And they're closed down because of COVID.
Yeah.
We're not
okay.
Here.
Because I believe there's a connection that God has brought you to this family for a reason. He had to engineer it. Because you're a very loyal faith. You will not move by nature. It's not your natural nature to move. Because you're so loyal. Such a loyal. What I see in the spirit is your life is extremely full. You have so much going on. Your plate is overloaded in many areas, some of which you're doing to yourself, not necessary. So you have to reevaluate your life and check what needs to be thinned out and reevaluate, move time around. What you don't know is that in your in your lineage of your previous generations in your life, there were those that really were fired up to serve God. And there were even preachers in your bloodline before, and your DNA is filled with God. You cannot escape it. There's always something that drives you back to looking to God. And you have seen God in action in your life in the most critical situations that God intervened. And you know God. So it wasn't you just happened to be looking for a church. No, it was engineered by God. Because not only can you receive and go to the next level with what's here, you can contribute because you have a lot inside. Your greatest power, strength, is you're steady. You're consistent. You always, sometimes people might see it as boring because you're so predictable. We know what you're going to order of that menu every time, the same thing. You'll eat the same, you'll do the same thing. You'll park the same way. You park your car the same way every time because you're consistent, but you're so stable. And you're to be trusted. Your word is like gold. If you promise someone something, you're going to do it. And that you're a rare species of man. You're a gentleman. You're a man of your word. We need some of that to spill over into the church. The reason is you may not be broken because of your history, but there are people that get saved and born again. Jesus said there's a sick that need a doctor. They come here needing, and you were born and designed to spill over and be an example to them. It's who you are. So I'm appealing to you, not because I care about the pastor, I care about God's kingdom. I'm appealing to you to lock into this family because they need you. They need you. And God's going to reshuffle your whole family and your career and a whole other stuff, shuffle it to make it far more effective and productive and your life so much more rich. And your real gifting, which is in your DNA, is to see people's lives improved. You have a great patience. You're very patient. I see when you work with tools too in your garage, they have to be certainly oiled and cleaned a certain way and stand a certain way. It's your personality to have everything in order. And you're going to pass all that on to other people, your whole way of looking at things. But you've got to leave behind you what's behind you. It's hard for you to move on because you are so loyal by nature. But let God be the one that you're loyal to more than man. Let God be the one that instructs you and leads you. But God is pleased with you. He's with you. As a sign to you, I speak God's word. Where you work, there's a mega unexpected change coming in your favor very soon. Unexpected. It should have come long ago because you really wanted it, but now the time has come, and God's going to suddenly do something the most profound for you, and it's almost shocking for you, but it's working in your favor. So that'll be a sign to you very soon. Okay, thank you. Monique, pick someone for me, Monique.
Oh.
Yeah, pick one person you don't like.
Maria.
You don't like Maria?
Yes.
Maria?
I love her.
Hello, Maria. She doesn't like you, Maria. I know she does. She loves you.
I know she loves me.
What do you do, Maria?
I'm a retention manager and the...
A what manager?
A retention manager. For
retention manager. What does that do?
People yell at me all day. I save customers from canceling their accounts and enforce contracts, resign contracts. But I do the kids' church here, too.
What I see in your spirit is you are a phenomenal person. You haven't had the salute.
Aw, love you guys.
I mean, really, you are the most unselfish person in this building. You are always working. They could ask you to do anything, no matter how busy you are. You're going to find time. You'll do it. And you always are positive, like a little Pollyanna come back with so much. You'll find a way. You're just positive, and you've had to deal with some really bad things in your life. From lack of poverty and some really abusive situations, and it made you stronger, didn't make you weaker. And if you only knew how important you are, you don't see yourself that way, but you are one amazing woman of God. There's no other way to describe you. And God's favor is so on you, you don't have because you didn't ask. You want that new car, girlfriend? Ask him. He's a better source than your work situation. Don't look at someone else's car. I wish I had a car. Like, no. And don't you dare buy a used one. Because Jesus didn't drive used cars. No. He drove brand new donkeys. Untouched colts. So God wants to, there's a specific vehicle that God wants to bless you with as a sign to you of how he's going to prosper and bless you and wants to reward you for your favor. There's a family member that has been difficult and distant, and you've always done right by them. And it's not your fault, and God's going to reconcile them. They're going to have a transformation, and God's doing a miracle with regards to that in the family, in the relatives, not your household, relatives. I don't know how many children you have, but you are phenomenal in everything you do. No one can stay the same around you. You always affect their lives. Fortunately, you're not the one to rescue people all the time. So you're not trying to make it easy for them and do everything for them and spoil them like I do. No, you want to make them lives better, but you guide them correctly. So when you came to this church, God really blessed this house. You are an absolute asset in this family.
Thank you. Thank you.
Besides the car, there is in the future, there's another house too that's more conveniently located. There's something wrong with the one you're in now. I'm not sure what it is, but it's going to change. You're going to be out of it before getting in trouble. Just want you to know. Just saying. All right. We want to go say something to her?
Yeah. I also get this excitement in my spirit when I look at you. And I know.
Why?
I'm telling her. Not that type of excitement.
Oh, okay.
Because God really placed you in this house and in this kingdom. And you are so vibrant and your spirit just alive. And God just really loves you. He loves you. Now the Lord says, you did not get the recognition that you deserved in the places where you worked and in the people that you dealt with. And they didn't see you in the same way that God sees you. He recognizes you. And God says He will make you famous. You hear what I'm saying? He will make you famous. Your name will be known. They will actually run after you. You won't have to apply for a job. They will run after you.
Oh, thank you.
What's your name? Carol? I don't remember. I'm sorry. Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
What do you do, Miss Carol?
Well, my kids are all grown now, but I was a stay-at-home mom.
And now what do you do? A woman with so much ability and talent. That's what I thought you might do because you are so gifted in so many arenas and you're a little hard worker. But you're a treasure that's untapped into. You come to this church? Because I really sense wherever you're going, you're going to lock into a team. And whether it's a prayer team, a help team, you're going to really do a lot of ministry and you're going to evolve and grow into actual healing, deliverance, the whole thing. You're going to help minister because you go get them, girl. You have to be busy. You can't help yourself. Your house is like a hospital. Everything's in order. And then once it's all in order now, what do I do with myself now? And you'll repack the jolly cupboard again. It's always something. You have to fix things. You have to do something. And that's how God designed you. And now it's time for the kingdom to benefit from your abilities. I want to tell you that if you take care of God's people, He'll take care of your children. You can stop today being concerned about them. Let God take care of them. They'll be fine. They'll be more than fine. Go.
You may not know it, but there is a prophetic gifting in you in that you sense people going through need and through different stuff. And it just comes to you just as a knowing. And you intervene in those situations, and that's one of God's gifts on your life. But it's not been used effectively as yet. And so you need to just lean into that, have some teaching and learn some things, so you can actually operate into the fullness of that gift.
Hallelujah. What's your name, sir, with the gray blue shirt thing on? Dave. And next to you is your daughter?
My wife, Juju.
A young wife. What's your name?
Juju, but my Medivy.
Juju.
That's a nickname, but my real name is Medivy.
Medivy. Where are you from?
India.
India, okay. And what do you do, Dave?
We have a home inspection business.
A home inspection business. Okay, I hope you have high standards. Because those contractors get away with murder. Don't let them get away with it. Unless we're fixed. That's what I'm saying. Who's laughing at me? Okay, are you in the real estate? Oh, that's why you're laughing. Okay. So, Uncle Dave, are you in this church? Now, you say that, but I hear the Lord saying, I must ask you to lock it in, to become more committed because you come and go. You need to be here. You're far more valuable for God's kingdom than you know. You kind of frustrate yourself with all the, you try to get everything right, and you get frustrated when things aren't perfect and the way they're not supposed to be. You have a sense of order. You get in the car, and in your mind, you'll be in a certain destination, certain time, and if something goes wrong between it, frustrates you. Because, and it's not because it's a big issue, but you're 10 minutes late, so what? But it's because your natural man wants to do what's always be perfect. And the reason is because you were never good enough growing up for someone. They weren't mean. They just didn't say things that would build you. They kept saying things that made you feel like you just can never be enough. And it's a trick of the devil because you're more than enough. Then you had someone in your life before her that also made you feel like less than. It's all a setup because you are a wonderful man. And we need you in this family. You bring so much to the table as a person, not as an ability, not as a giftings and stuff that you can do and give. No, you, we want you because you are important. You have a lot to give, a lot of love in your heart. You've done some things you're less than proud of, and the devil beats you up frequently. So I'm going to give you a key. When he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, because he'll torment you all he can. Now, the Bible says, and James says, if you will submit to God and resist the devil, he'll flee. They love to resist the devil, but you're not submitted to God. So I'm going to give you a key. Submitting to God is complete yielding to him. You can trust him. He's the dad you can trust. You're safe. As for you, my sister, it was no small thing you came here. You try to keep it going, and you try to keep positive. It's your natural nature to make the best of everything, because you come down a strange journey, and the devil tried to break you when you were very young. But this is the sweeter years of your life. I'm here to tell you the best years you've ever had are now only coming. Your most happy years of your life are now only starting. That's the truth. Anything?
Dave, you struggle to trust people because you keep on getting burned by what people say. And that's fine. We're not supposed to trust people. We're supposed to trust God. And God has a way of just using you in a way that you see things that other people don't necessarily see. But people have spoken so badly over you. And I want to tell you and your wife that God meant for you two to be together. And so his blessing is upon your marriage. And let nobody that speaks worry you. God's hand is on you. God's going to move you forward. Again, I want to reiterate, God's asking you to fully commit to his purpose. And God's going to lift you up in ways that you don't understand.
Hallelujah. What's it to you? Can I go 5 more minutes? What is your name with Inspire on your shirt? Hi, Michelle, my belle. These are words that go together well. And so we are here today. What do you do, Michelle?
I'm a high school English teacher.
Oh, we spoke to you before.
Yeah.
We did. Okay. Are you not married?
No.
Because God's about to intervene something for you. You know that you sabotage most relationships because you're fearful of it not working and disappointed. You have this difficulty of a situation when you can't control it. Be disappointed. When you're in control, you're no problem. When it's a situation under your control, you will rather sabotage it when it gets too nerve-wracking for you. So I'm here to implore, to beg, to please, to encourage you to let God have control. Trust him. God's not going to let you be disappointed. He's going to watch over you. You've got a lot of love in your heart, and you teach English, and you do all that for now, but there's much more waiting for you. The person you will marry will have a real heart for the kingdom and missions and such like, and so you'll go on trips on occasion in your life and do things that are phenomenal. There's also a restoration in your own family. There's been some crazy stuff in your family, and God's going to fix it without your help. You would love to help, but you don't know what to do. Nobody in this room knows the stuff you've been through, the abuse, the actual nasty stuff. Nobody knows in this room but God. And it wasn't your fault. You did nothing wrong. The devil came to steal. They're all victims. Every one of them are victims of the demonic powers of the devil. But God, but God, but God, but God is going to rule and crush the enemy. So you better know that God loves you. And you got my attention when I first came. You got my attention again. So I'm here to tell you, God is not going to neglect you. He's going to take care of you. Go, girl. All right. I'm sure you're bored already. You want me to stop? I know you do. You just like him. You want to work me to... Who has never, and you cannot lie, you in church, it's double penalty, that you've never in your life ever received a personal word from God? No one's ever spoken a word over you, honestly, ever in your whole life. Anybody here? Yes, I know the young girls, you had my attention, the two young girls. How old are you with the pink top? 12. You are such a sweetheart. I watched you singing. You're so smart and so sweet, but you don't think you're pretty. You don't think you're anything special, and you need to stop that. God doesn't make junk. He made you perfect in every way. Your singing is good, but it's the love behind it that's so much more powerful. You've got so much love and goodness in you. Do you know what you want to be when you grow up? What you want to be?
I want to be a cardiothoracic surgeon.
Okay. Too much TV for you is what I think it is. You got a gift to communicate and teach. Kids love you. Kids love you. You love them. You're a bit of a slob right now. You're not always tidy and organized. But the truth is, you will become a very organized person. Very organized. Your brain is all over the place, but you're super smart. Super smart. And you need to get control of it, because then you use your strengths, because you are very naturally academic. You need to just know that, that's where you built. The friend next to you is Monique's daughter, right?
Yes.
Are you nervous? You should be very nervous. Are you 13?
12.
Put the microphone close to your mouth. You 12?
Yes.
Are you married?
No.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Keep it that way.
Okay.
Don't make me come back here.
Okay.
So what do you do? What do you want to be when you grow up?
I don't know.
I love a girl with vision. Ooh. There isn't much you can do. You're very smart. You're not lazy, but you're not as motivated academically as you should be, because you are very naturally a scholar. And you are very smart. She has this medical drive in her, but actually you have the medical gift in you. And I'll tell you why. Because your natural personality God gave you is you're very calm under pressure. The house could be burning down and you're just saying, Mom, shouldn't we go? That's your nature. You don't panic. And you're calm and steady. If you watch her hands trying to put a needle through a thread, she's very steady and very patient. And that's why you do well in the medical industry, because you're calm and patient. Now, the only difficulty is you get distracted in the most oddest times. You were sent to go do a task and you didn't come back because you got distracted. And you've got to get control of that. You've got to become the boss of your mind. Do you understand? Stay on focus, because you're super smart. You've got a tender heart. You love people. You care about everybody. But you've got to press on and use your gift to help people, to help rescue them. Do you understand? It's very important. And so you're good friends, and you're very opposites of the pole in so many ways. It's like, I'm tired just looking at the two of you together, because you have so much energy. Go.
You've got a wonderful gift in your life of worship. I want to just tell you, your friend sings here in the front, but you have a gift of worship. Nobody knows the funny things that you do in your own room when music is playing. And God just loves that. He loves the way that you worship Him. He loves your energy. And God's got a good plan for your life. I want to tell you, good plan for your life. To the lady in pink, you've got such a sweet spirit. I just enjoy seeing you here in the front. And God's going to use you mightily with many giftings. I want to tell you, many giftings. There's even a bit of prophetic ministry within you. And so I want to tell you that you must seek the Lord, because your answers come from the Lord, not from Google. You know, there's a scripture in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, ask me and I will show you the great and ungoogleable things yet to come.
Okay? Unsearchable, yes.
Yeah, unsearchable. Your answers don't come from Google. You have to search out God, because He's got a very specific path for your life.
But Google helps. Amen. I like Google. So, Abel, you're 28 now, and there's been a journey of relationships with you, or inquiring your heart. And the Lord prompted me to tell you that people try to tell you what to do with regards to women or a relationship, marriage and all that thing. And just somehow, some of those beautiful girls came your way, but just something would not gel with you. And the Lord says, you made that deal with God in your teens. You ask God for the one that he chose, the right one, and you'd know. And everyone thinks a person must look a certain way. It's not so with you. You're not looking for a Barbie or a model. You're looking for the one that God has chosen. And you waited, and you, because you waited, your time has come. Your time has come. You won't have to try and get her to be godly. She will be godly. She will fit to you and your in personality so easily. But you don't just want someone that's pretty, that looks good. You want someone that can really be a friend and a companion to you. Those are all the words you use in your teens. And God has written it down in his book of remembrance. But now the time has come. I just want you to know it's going to come. It's going to fall together. Dude, like totally. Do you want to say anything to that, Tim? It's Abel. Just tell him to watch out for Cain. Cain has got bad attitude. Yeah. What's that? Did you know that Abel was the first prophet in the Bible? You didn't know that? In Luke 11, Jesus says that the blood of all the prophets will be taken off the hands of the Jews of his era, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. That's what he said. Why was Abel a prophet? Because his blood called to God. No question. Amazing. It's all in the Word. Let's read it. Read your Bibles. It's exciting. Okay. Most prophets out of it. What's your name with the pink? You get words every time, I think. The singer lady, the real estate. What's your name? Leslie. All right. And are you married, Leslie?
No. Uh-uh.
All right. And were you married?
Yes.
And how many children?
I have two boys that you prophesied over last time. They have two sons. They live
They're
in
not
Texas.
Here. No. They didn't come this weekend?
They live in Texas.
And that's a problem. I live in Texas. I'm here.
I know, and I got married in San Antonio. Yeah. I used to live in San Antonio.
Well, go girls, what I'm saying. I knew you were classy. All my exes are from Texas. Yeah. So you sell real estate here?
I do.
You know, your angel has been tired on occasion because of keeping up with you and protecting you is quite some work because you are like three people in one. You always have been. You don't have to apologize for it. That's the way God made you. You've never been quiet, little Miss Betty sitting in the corner. It's just not who you are. You're a go-get-em girl, and if men are threatened by your skills and your go-get-em courage, because you have courage, no matter how difficult things are, you may throw a fit and get a fright, but 2 minutes later, you're up and you're ready to go back to the fight. That's who you are. It's always been that way since you were at school. And there's always been the jealous girls and jealous people, always been the hateful people towards you, even at work now. The people that are hateful towards you make your life very difficult. It's because of a spirit of jealousy. So if you want to be more effective and fruitful, take my advice today. Make it a habit of binding that spirit of jealousy wherever you go. Because they're just jealous of you.
What do you mean binding?
You say, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of jealousy, I bind you. You'll have no effect on my life today or to touch anybody that I come in contact with. You take authority over it. The devils must, you know, the language of demonic powers is frequently mentioned by Jesus, frequently. The demons even talk back to him. Don't let us go, just die, let us go into the pigs. They're talking to him. And he says, okay, go in the pigs. He's having a whole conversation. He knows all, I saw the devil fall like lightning. And he says, Satan, get behind me. He sees my work. He knows how the devil operates. And the devil's real. He's very real. But we have power over him. I've given you all authority. He has no power. He barks. No teeth. So don't let him threaten you, okay? There's a lot of changes coming in your life, upgrades. And the difficulties, the Lord says, he doesn't want to tell you stuff. You're asking him a lot of questions right now. But he can tell you stuff because your personality always is. If he mentions something, you're really running. So he has to give you minimal information. Because you'll go and get information he didn't even give you and work on it. Because you're a go-get-em girl. Just a go-get-em girl. You make things happen. And God's trying to slow you down to become more responsive to his word. Because you are prophetic. You do hear God. But that has made it difficult for the Lord to speak to you because you go ahead of him. You're doing things in your own initiative, which is not a bad thing. He's just training you to become more disciplined, like a real soldier. And that's what he's doing in your life. But God's hands on you. There's a lot of good things waiting for you. There's some serious travel outside of the country coming up. I know it's COVID, but God's got some international travel that's very important for your life. And you're going to negotiate on a very high level. I talk here about millions. that you're negotiating with real estate and property and different things and investments. I hear investments all the time. So God's got some interesting things going. He's getting a whole new, it's not just a house here, a house there. It's something a whole lot different happening for you. Anything?
In many ways, you've become really tired of what is happening in your life. And there's many times nobody knows, but you're lying in bed and saying, can this just come to an end? And the Lord says He's going to reignite your fire, and you will move with lots of strength, lots of energy, like the way that you were when you were a young lady. You're still a lady? When you were a young lady. So you're going
younger,
to,
yeah.
Yeah, younger.
It's okay, I'm old.
No.
No, I'm not that old.
No. We have Ancient of Days here. Yeah.
But God wants you to know He's going to reignite, and He's your source of provision. He says He will not go any day with an empty cupboard. Not one day He will go with an empty cupboard. It's His promise to you. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much. Would you just, well, come, you can just tell them about that. Go ahead, tell them. Thank you for letting me minister here so much.
Amen. While Pastor Steve is coming to the front, we still have some product in the back. And this workbook, and it's an 8-part audio, it really helped me when I started off in the prophetic. There's some really great teachings in this. So I would encourage you to get some of the product. If you want to hear God's voice, the teachings that are in here is really, really amazing. So I encourage you, go get it while it's still hot. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Why don't you give God thanks for Prophet Ed Trout for being here this weekend, letting him know we appreciate him coming. Amen. So good. Listen, two things I want to do real quick before we close. Number one, I want to receive an offering for Ed Trout's ministry. And number two, I'm going to close with an altar call for salvation. I'm going to ask you to sit in your seats for the next 5 minutes. Can we do that? All right, 3 John, verse 5, says this. Dear friend, you are doing what is that? You are being faithful. There's a different translation. You've got to give me the same. There we go, okay. Which one are we doing now? Let's read that one. I'll read from the screen. How about that? Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. And so we ourselves should support them so that we can be partners as they teach the truth. Now, there's so much in that scripture to say, but it's talking to the church that when a traveling minister like Prophet Ed Trout, that's what he does. He travels how many days a year? 28 meetings a month is what he does on average. So we're talking about over 300 meetings a year. He's on the road. Of course, he hasn't been the last year, but that's what he does on average. So the scripture's talking about when a traveling minister comes through, that God says, I want you to take care of them, I want you to provide for them. And when you do, you are partnering with them. And that's what I want you to get tonight. Because whatever the Lord does through Ed's ministry, and whatever lives are changed through Ed's ministry, and he was telling just one example today. He went to a church and there was a young man, he was a drug dealer. And he had all kinds of things, and Ed prophesied over him. His life transformed. Now he's serving the Lord. He'd been with Ed to different places, traveling. And that man's life wouldn't have been changed if it wasn't for people like you and me supporting Ed's ministry so that he can go and preach the gospel. You understand? That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight. If you haven't sown into Ed's ministry yet, I would encourage you to do so tonight. And once again, you can do it by cash, check, credit card, use the envelope. You can give online, you can give by text giving, and so we're going to go ahead and do that tonight. Father, I thank you for bringing Prophet Ed and Anthony to come and minister this weekend to us. We thank you for this gift to the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you guide them and protect them wherever they may go. We thank you, Lord, that you open doors for them and you provide for them. And we thank you, Lord, that you use them in a mighty way to touch people's lives, to change people's lives. I thank you for everyone who's given today. I thank you for this church that we are so generous in giving. And Lord, you said that when we give, that you would cause men to give back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I thank you, Lord, for blessing every giver. I thank you for multiplying the seed that is sown. I thank you for doing financial miracles in people's lives, Lord, this year. We believe this is the year you're going to demonstrate yourself to the world. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ushers, thank you so much. You may go ahead. I believe everybody is ready. You can pass the offering baskets. We want to say thank you to all of our servant leaders who served this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, media department. Why don't you give them a big round of applause, our children's church teachers tonight. I think we had children's church teachers tonight, and our ushers and our greeters and all of our media. Miguel back there, I've got to give a special shout out because he's here every time, man. Every service, Miguel and Natalie are back there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to next Sunday. We're fasting. Today is day 7. Anyone fasting and praying? We're going to keep on fasting. Don't forget, this week we're meeting at the church from 7 until 8 every night, Monday through Friday, to pray. Come and join with us. Come and pray. You know how I learned how to pray? I got around other people who prayed. That's how I learned how to pray. If you say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray, you'll never know how to pray unless you come and pray with us. Come pray with us. I'm not going to ask you to pray in public. I'm going to teach you. We have Dimini there, drives down from Port St. Lucie every day to come and pray with us. Drives from Port St. Lucie. I've got people who live around the corner I can't get to come and pray every night. I'm going to tell you, you need to be here and pray. Amen, Anna. Am I right? Amen. Bow your heads if you would. Can I ask you to just close your eyes? Because there's people here tonight that need to meet Jesus. Listen to me. While heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, I don't want anyone looking around. If you're not sure where you stand with God tonight, I want to pray for you. If you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die tonight, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without the shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven? You know it. You're sure of it. Or would you have to honestly say, Pastor Steve, if I died tonight, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. The Bible says that even the demons believe in God and tremble, and there's no demon going to heaven. What I'm asking you is not if you believe in God, is not if you're a member of a church. I'm asking you, if you died tonight, can you say for sure, I know that all is right between me and God, and I would know I would go to heaven? Because here's the good news. You can know that. You can be sure. You can walk out of here tonight, and you can know that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you tonight. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up right where you're sitting. While we have eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right and all is well between me and God. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you tonight and you want to be included, I want you just quickly to slip your hand up high. Just lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer tonight. Thank you. God bless you. Just put it up. I see it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. I wanted everyone who lifted your hand up, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I simply want you to say this prayer after me to the Lord. This is, we're praying to God. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, look at the screen for a moment. Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a Christian. You believe in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead. Do you believe God raised Jesus from the dead? Well, tonight, you're going to confess him to be Lord of your life. Tonight, you're going to be saved. Tonight, you're going to become a child of God. Tonight, your name is going to be written in the book of heaven. Tonight, everything's going to change for you. So I want us all to say this prayer with Sydney and her daughter and her mom. Will you pray together with them? I want you to close your eyes and say this, everyone. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent Jesus, your only son, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross, to shed his blood and take my sin. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, you said I would be saved. So I do this tonight. I believe in all my heart. Jesus, you're the Son of God. You've been raised from the dead. You are alive. And I ask you, come into my life, Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Save me. I confess, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. I surrender to you. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I want to do what your Bible says. And so I thank you, Lord, that I am now your child. I am born again. I am saved. God, you are my Father. I am your child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The best. I prayed that prayer. My mother dragged me almost to a church like this when I was 16 years old. Last place I wanted to be, I promise you now, was in church. Me and nine of my friends drove in on our motorcycles. We thought we were the Hell's Angels. We were wannabe Hell's Angels. And we sat in that service. And at the end of that service, Pastor Theo had everyone bow their head. And I don't know why, my hand just went up and my life changed. My life changed forever. And I believe God has done an amazing work in your life too. Thank you for bringing your friends, Carol. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here tonight. Say, I'll see you next Sunday. And I'm going to bring somebody with me next Sunday. I've got a powerful sermon next Sunday called Fellowship with God. I'll see you next week. God bless you. Have a great week, everybody.
This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.